Dear listeners, Sai Ram. We now bring you Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today's episode was first aired on the 13th December 2018 as part of Thursday live programs on Asia Stream of Radio Sai. This program is hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu.
Salam, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and today we have a lovely bhajan in adoration of Bhagwan as the Divine Mother. It has lovely phrases, and this is how the first line of the bhajan goes.
Kalavati Kali Kapalini.
So in the next 45 minutes, we will spend time on this bhajan. You will get to hear how this bhajan should be sung. We will discuss about the raga, the beat of the bhajan, and then we will spend time on the meaning of every word of this bhajan. And in the end, you will listen to the final version of this bhajan as it is sung in the divine presence of Bhagwan in the sanctum sanctorum of Prashantinilayam. So let's get started with the lyrics of the bhajan.
Kalavati Kali Kapalini దేవి సరస్వతి వేద నారాయణి మంగళ గౌరీ మాతా మహేశ్వరి జగదోద్ధారిణి దుర్గ భవాని.
Now that you are familiar with the words that make the bhajan, here is how this bhajan should be sung. As you listen, please follow line by line.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale C sharp pancham.
Kalavati Kali Kapalini. Kalavati Kali Kapalini. Kalavati Kali Kapalini. Kalavati Kali Kapalini. Devi Saraswati Veda Narayani. Devi Saraswati Veda Narayani. Devi Saraswati వేద నారాయణి. దేవి సరస్వతి వేద నారాయణి. కళావతి కాళి కపాలిని. కళావతి కాళి కపాలిని. మంగళ గౌరీ మాతా మహేశ్వరీ. మంగళ గౌరీ మాతా మహేశ్వరీ. మంగళ గౌరీ మాతా మహేశ్వరీ. మంగళ గౌరీ మాతా మహేశ్వరీ. జగదోధారిణి దుర్గ భవాని. జగదోధారిణి దుర్గ భవాని. జగదోధారిణి దుర్గ భవాని. జగదోధారిణి దుర్గ భవాని. కళావతి కాళి కపాలిని.
That's a lovely adoration of the Divine Mother. Having learned the tune of the bhajan, Let's spend some time discovering the raga and the notes. Brother Anirudh is here to share with us his thoughts on the makeup of the bhajan. So what is the raga behind this composition, Anirudh?
Sairam Bisho.
Sairam.
This lovely Devi bhajan is based on raga Mian Ki Malhar, I can say. It is a Hindustani classical raga. And also a mix of, you can feel that it is Darbari, which is very oftenly used in our Sai bhajans. And a Carnatic raga called Kannada.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe let me take you across different bhajans in Kannada, in Darbari, and in Mian Ki Malhar.
Okay.
So that we get an idea of all three ragas and how all three ragas are put together in this beautiful bhajan.
Sure.
So the first one is Mian Ki Malhar.
Sari Pagamani Dani Sa Nizari Pagamari Nisani Nidani Sa Ghan Ghan Nila Vadana Ati Sundara जय श्री गणेश विघ्ननाश गजानन
एंड आई एम रिमाइंडेड ऑफ अ ब्यूटीफुल विंटेज भजन
प्रथम शरण गणनायक
सो ऑल दिस आर इन मियान के मल्हार नाउ वी कम टू दरबारी बिकॉज देयर इज अ टच ऑफ दरबारी इन मियान के मल्हार इटसेल्फ बट नॉट लाइक प्योर दरबारी वे So in this bhajan, like the second line and the third line.
Devi Saraswati Veda Narayani Kalavati Kali Kapalini Mangala Gauri Mata Maheshwari
This is a typical phrase of Darbari, which is there in many other popular bhajans. And, the third raga is Kannada, which is slightly different from Darbari in a small way, like the Shuddha Dha comes.
Da pama pagamare.
The best example would be
Madhura Puri Nilaye Minakshi Kasi Puradhishwari Vishweshwari.
So here in this bhajan we don't have a pure Kannada approach, but the second line sounds more like a Kannada.
Devi Saraswati Veda Narayani.
And the last line.
Jagadodharini Durga Bhavani.
So we have this kind of light notes. You can say it is picked up from Darbari, but not exactly Darbari, in many of our vintage bhajans also. Like,
Radha, Radha, Gokula Bala, Radha, Pyare, Jaya Gopal, Jaya Ho, Jaya Ho, Gopalana.
So all these are, it's like light classical raga, largely based on Darbari, you can say. But in this bhajan you have a touch of Mian Ki Malhar because in the first line you have
Kalavati Kali Kapalini Sani Pagamare.
That usage is more of Mian Ki Malhar.
No wonder. The bhajan sounds so beautiful.
Yes.
You have the best of so many ragas coming to make this beautiful offering.
And we have
Sadguru Brahma.
Yes, that was what ringing in my mind.
It's a beautiful bhajan.
Yes. So shall we do the swaras?
Yes. So the first line.
Kalavati Kali Kapalini.
So in the first line we have the Shuddha Dha.
Padani Zani Sa Sani Pagamari Sa. Padani Zani Sa Sani Pagamari Sa. Devi Saraswati Veda Narayani. sasari sari re ga ga ma re sa sa
sasari sari re ga ga ma re sa sa
kalavati kali kapalini padani sani sa sani pagamari sa
padani sani sa sani pagamari sa
mangala gauri mata maheshwari sari sari
పరిసరి నిస నిప గ గ మ రి స స
హి మెన్షన్ అబౌట్ హౌ త్రీ రాగాస్ హవ్ కమ్ బ్యూటిఫుల్లీ టుగెదర్ ఫర్ దిస్ భజన్. In fact, some of the phrases used in this bhajan are also unique, isn't it?
Yes.
Veda Narayani is something perhaps you don't find in any other bhajan.
Yes.
Even Kalavati and Kalika, of course, you find in some bhajans.
Yes.
But Kalavati again is a rare word used in Devi bhajans. Beautiful. So let's do the beat.
The beat of this bhajan is 8 beat. Aditalam or Kahirva in the classical music. Let's have the count. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3. Four, one, two, three, four.
Kalavati Kali Kapalini.
Kalavati Kali Kapalini.
Devi Saraswati Veda Narayani.
Devi Saraswati Veda Narayani.
Kalavati Kapalini.
Kalavati Kali Kapalini.
A lovely addition to our collection of Devi bhajans. Thank you so much, Anirudh and Arvind Sai.
Thank you, Vishu.
Vishu.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. Sai Ram. So it's time now to spend our energies, our thought into what makes this bhajan so special. What are those beautiful phrases that have come together to gift us this lovely bhajan? The first line, Kalavati Kali Kapalini.
Kalavati Kali Kapalini.
Kalavati means one who is well versed in all the arts. We are referring to someone who is endowed with all the talent, all the forms of all the arts, dance, music, art, you name it. And he or she, generally it refers to she, Kalavati, who is the repository of all these beautiful gifts of God. And I cannot but recall how Bhagwan has blessed so many students with such lovely talent. And if you look at Bhagwan's life itself, he is someone, when he took on the human form, he was filled with all these talents. He is the embodiment of all the kalas, sakala kalapriya. That is how there are bhajans which describe the Lord. And in fact, if you look at Bhagwan's early life, we know how Swami started the Pandari Bhajan group when he was a little one, just 10 years old. And in fact, one of the members of the Pandari Bhajan group was Krishnam Raju, who was Bhagwan's earthly cousin brother. And he narrates how 20 of them were part of the Pandari Bhajan group, and Swami would prepare their clothes by soaking their dresses, which consisted of a shirt and a half pant and a towel and a scarf, in a mixture of water, turmeric powder and lime to get the fabric dyed light orange. And then they would wear a scarf with its edges stitched with red cloth, and they would have this around their neck. There would be a towel around their waist and another small towel tied around their head, and they would carry a flag in one hand. In the other hand, they would have the chakka, so this little wooden clap sticks to give accompaniments in rhythm as they sing and dance. There would be a harmonium, a drum, and they would wear garlands, and there would be anklets on their feet, and they would perform with so much of jubilation in Puttaparthi and in the neighboring villages, Karnataka, Nagapalli, Kamavaripalli, Koilukuttapalli, Brahmanapalli, Locherla, and there would be a photo of Lord Panduranga of Pandharpur in a prominent place in the village. And they used to not only walk, many times they would walk on their knees as they would be singing the glory of Lord Panduranga. And Swami would be very strict also with all the boys about their perfection in singing and dancing. And he would make them practice for hours before presenting it to the villagers. They say that the power of this chanting was so great that the villagers believed that because of the influence of these Pandari bhajans, the dreadful epidemic of cholera which had been playing havoc in the neighborhood never touched Puttaparthi. In fact, Karnam Kamalamma recalls how during the Pandari bhajan period, Bhagwan, as a little one, as little Satya, would beg Karnam Subbamma, Swami's foster mother, for oil to light the lamps, and as soon as she gave it, Swami would run and start the bhajan. And during the Pandari bhajans, he would jump up and down while dancing. And once there was a Pandari bhajan competition also arranged between the Harijans of the village and other groups. And Swami next day went to the Harijan slum, you know, the so-called backward people of the village. And even though the people of the upper caste didn't like it, Swami ensured that there is no discrimination in the community. All should sing the name of the Lord, and the Pandari bhajan group went to all the areas to spread the glory of the divine. So that is how, through bhajans, through art, Swami was bringing unity in the village. And it is not only this dance and music in Pandari bhajan group, there is also this beautiful incident that happened when Bhagwan was in the school in Bukkapatnam. So there was this annual day function, and there was a famous actress and dancer, Rishendra Mani, who was invited to perform for the fundraising function of the school. And all arrangements were made, tickets were sold, people were gathering, and there was a large crowd out there. And the last moment, the dancer sent word that because of sudden ill health, she was unable to come to perform. And now it was a crisis, because if Rishendra Mani would not come, then it would really disappoint the crowd. And the headmaster was wondering how to handle the situation. People have already paid the money for the event, and it is at this moment that little Satya offers to save the situation, and he says that he would be happy to dance in place of Rishendra Mani. And the desperate school administration, with no other alternative, immediately agreed to this proposal by little Satya. And the spectacular thing about the actress's dance was that she could balance a plate with a lighted lamp on top of a bottle on her head, and she would do it perfectly while keeping the lighted lamps on the plate. So even as the lighted lamp is there on top of a bottle on her head, she would be dancing. So Bhagwan, when he took upon this role of Rishendra Mani, he too did this feat. And he did it so fantastically, so seamlessly, that the audience roared in applause. And Rama Subbamma, the district education board president, he presented the prizes the next day, and she spoke in appreciation of the actress, the so-called actress who had performed. And she said the school, thanks to the beautiful performance of this actress, has really got so much funds, and she wanted to honor her, the so-called Rishendra Mani. And when she called out her name from amidst the excited crowd, there is little Satya walking towards the stage, and he was in fact stopped by the police. They said, we are waiting for Rishendra Mani. And that is where headmaster comes to the rescue and accompanies Bhagwan to the stage, and he proudly announces that it was Satya who saved the day for the school by performing on the stage so exceptionally well that nobody could actually identify, or nobody could really realize that the real Rishendra Mani had not come. And Rama Subbamma, the chief guest, complimented Satya for his performance and from then on developed great affection and regard for Bhagwan. So this was one occasion when Bhagwan took it upon himself to save the honor of his school, of his teachers and the headmaster. So that talent, as Swami says, it should be always for others' benefit, because talent is not a gift of God. Talent is God and it has to be used for God in the service of society. Kalavati Kali Kapalini. So he is the one who is the embodiment of all the talents and who bestows us all the talents and teaches us how talent should be used. Kali Kapalini. Kali means the black one. Goddess Kali is the fierce, destructive form of Mother Parvati, the divine consort of Lord Shiva. Goddess Kali is usually depicted with black skin and four arms, holding a severed head and brandishing a sword. The inner significance of her having a head is that she is the one who destroys our head swollen with pride and ego. She uses the sword for this purpose. It denotes the power of destruction of evil. Kapalini means a goddess who is adorned with a garland of skulls. What are these skulls? These are basically empty skulls. Our mind, when it is filled with ego, it is basically empty. So here, the Divine Mother is depicting how she destroys our animal nature, our ego, which the head represents. In fact, there is a very beautiful incident in the life of Paramahansa Yogananda, the great saint who's written the book Autobiography of a Yogi. So once Yogananda's elder sister Roma requested him to change the mind of her husband Satish, because Satish would often ridicule the pictures of saints in her meditation room. So Yogananda agreed and went into meditation, and during which he got this divine inspiration, and he later told his sister to accompany him to the Dakshineshwar Kali temple near Kolkata on the following day and also bring her husband Satish for that journey. Yogananda felt that the holy atmosphere there would have an impact on Satish. But he told Roma not to tell Satish anything about this, about the reason for the trip to Dakshineshwar. So the next morning, Yogananda, Roma and Satish, they set out for the temple, and as they travelled, Satish kept mocking at saints. In fact, when their cab entered the temple grounds, Satish asked if the trip was another scheme to reform him, and Yogananda just kept quiet. And Satish said, "Young Mr. Monk, don't forget to make proper arrangements with the temple authorities to provide for our noon meal. You ensure that we don't go hungry, okay?" So Yogananda replied that, you know, he was going to meditate and that the Divine Mother would take care of their lunch. And Satish immediately said that, "I don't trust the Divine Mother to do a single thing for us. It is you who brought me. You better make arrangements for our food. You better be responsible for our lunch." So Yogananda kept quiet. He went to a selected shady spot and he began meditating from 7 a.m. And although he experienced divine peace, he could not see the Divine Mother in his meditation. So around noon, when he opened his eyes, he saw that the priest was locking the temple doors. And as the priest stepped into the courtyard, his feet got scorched in that blazing heat. And now Yogananda, who was silently praying with the Divine Mother, he started arguing with the Divine Mother, saying that, you know, he had not been blessed with her vision during the meditation, and now she is hiding behind closed doors. The Mother is no more to be seen. She is not accessible. And he also mentioned to the Mother that he had come to pray specially for Satish. And right at this moment, when he made this earnest prayer, immediately there was an instant response from the Divine Mother in the form of a cold and soothing wave that descended over his back and under his feet. Suddenly he felt that very calming, soothing, sublime presence of the Mother, and the next second, to his utter astonishment, the temple became suddenly greatly magnified. He sees this vision, the temple has blown up, and the door opened, and he saw the divine stone figure of the goddess. And even as he was watching the goddess changed into a living form, and the Divine Mother was smiling at him and nodding at him, and Yogananda was thrilled. He finally got the vision of the Mother. His consciousness expanded. He was in a blissful vision. He saw everything melting into the Mother, and everything had just become a part of the Mother's vision. So that he was lost in that ecstasy. And Yogananda, after this vision ended, you know, Even as you were seeing this vision, Yogananda suddenly remembered about Satish, and he saw Satish was seated under a tree, and Yogananda, in that state of higher consciousness, could easily read Satish's mind and knew that the holy atmosphere did not really had much impact on Satish. Satish still was criticizing everything around him, and Yogananda prayed, "O Divine Mother, will you not please spiritually change my sister's husband's mind?" And the Divine Mother said, "Your wish is granted." And Yogananda felt so elated. And even as this happened, Satish came running to him, and very angrily he said, "Where is our food? You opened your eyes now. You failed to notify the authorities about us. It is too late now to arrange for our lunch. Do you even realize what you have done?" And Yogananda exclaimed, "Don't worry, the Divine Mother will feed us." And Satish now lost his cool. He shouted, "Once and for all, I would like to see your Divine Mother giving us food here right now without you making any prior arrangements. Let me see what your Divine Mother can do." And hardly had he uttered these words, suddenly the temple priest came running to them. He addressed Yogananda, saying that he had actually kept some food aside for them right in the morning itself, because he had observed the serene glow on Yogananda's face during the time Yogananda was meditating. Although temple rules prohibited feeding of people who did not make an advance request, he had made an exception for them. And the moment the priest said that, Satish was stunned at how suddenly the priest had offered food when he thought that nothing was actually being done. Yogananda had done nothing, but mysteriously there was food for them. The priest had done an exception. So this is how Yogananda, his sister, and Satish had a heavy meal, and that was such a bewildering moment that during that return journey, Satish did not speak a word. And from that moment onwards, the transformation of Satish had begun. And this is how the mother destroys the ego in us. Kalavati, she is the one who is filled with all the arts, and she uses these arts to clean our hearts. Kalika Palini. Let's move on to the next line.
Devi Saraswati Vedanarayani.
Devi means goddess. This word comes from the root div, which means to shine. So Devi is one who shines with power, with brilliance, with beauty. Saraswati refers to that aspect of the Divine Mother who is the goddess of supreme intellect, wisdom, knowledge, music and art. Saraswati again is that aspect of the mother where she is the repository of all knowledge. In fact, always in the schools of India, you have Saraswati Vandana. You start your morning learning through chants which propitiate the Divine Mother as Mother Saraswati. In fact, I remember talking to a gentleman from Indore, from the state of Madhya Pradesh, Mr. Arun Mandale. He came to Bhagwan in 1963. He heard about Bhagwan in that year, and in 1968 he saw Bhagwan for the first time during the first world conference in Dharmakshetra in Mumbai. And even as he was sitting there in the darshan line, Swami came towards him and stood for a little while. And he was so mesmerized with that darshan of Bhagwan that once he returned to Indore, he started bhajans in his house. His parents were of religious mindset, and on a sacred Vasanta Panchami day, they started doing bhajans. He did not know many bhajans, but somehow they wanted to start the worship of Bhagwan in the house, and they knew the best way to do it is through singing bhajans. There was a samiti about 140 kilometers from the place in a town called Ratlam, so they would go there, learn the bhajans and start their bhajan sessions in Indore. And during those days, one day he had a dream. Swami came in that dream, and Swami was standing in the doorstep of his house. He saw suddenly a red car come in, and the car was parked at his doorstep, and he immediately went and he opened the door and he saw Bhagwan coming out of the car, and he said, "Oh, Are Babaji, aiye, aiye, please come, oh Babaji." In the dream, he's welcoming Swami into the home. And so he took Bhagwan's bag. Swami was carrying a little luggage, so he kept it in the house, and he said, "Oh, I'm so happy you have come to our house. Swami, will you stay here for a day or two with us?" So he's asking Bhagwan in the dream. And Swami says, yes, I will stay for 2 days. And then immediately Mr. Arun Mandale says, "So Swami, then shall we do bhajans in the evening?" And Swami says, yes, we should do bhajans every day. Hum to roj bhajan karenge. Every day we must have bhajans. And that is how in the dream, so that evening at 7 o'clock, they do bhajans. And then he says, "Swami, I know only one bhajan, Ganesha Sharanam, Sharanam Ganesha. I don't know any other bhajan. Can you please sing one bhajan?" And Swami says, yes, I will sing, no problem. And Swami starts a bhajan, a Ganesh bhajan. Gajavadana Gananatha Natha. So this is the bhajan Swami sings after they do the 3 times Omkaram. And Swami sings and he follows in the dream, and he's so happy that, you know, Bhagwan had taught him a bhajan. And in the dream, the next day arrives and he again asks, "Swami, can we do bhajans today also?" And Swami says, yes, bhajan to roz karna hai. Every day we should do bhajans. And he says, "Swami, can I call my relatives to have your darshan and paad namaskaram?" Swami says, yes, call anyone you want. And so there were more people in the bhajan session on the second day. All this is happening in the dream. So they do the bhajans again at 7 o'clock. And he says, "Swami, yesterday you sang that bhajan. It was very nice. Can you sing the bhajan once again?" And Swami sings that bhajan again. He follows that bhajan. And that is how in perhaps 10-15 minutes of that dream, he had 2 days of doing bhajans with Bhagwan and learning that Ganesha bhajan. And after a few days, his niece, who was generally staying with him but had gone in vacation to her parents' place, she came back. And when his niece had left for the vacation, he had told her that, "Anyway, you're going to Ratlam. Why don't you learn a few new bhajans and come, because then we can sing here." She used to generally stay with him and do her studies. And so when this niece returned, it was the time for birthday celebrations and they had decided to do bhajans. And Arun Mandale asked his niece to sing a Ganesh bhajan. And guess the bhajan that she started off with. Gajavadana Gananatha Natha. And after the bhajan was over, Arun Mandale asked, "You know what? I know this bhajan already." "So how?" "Swami himself came and taught me this bhajan. And he narrated everything that had happened." This is how Swami inspired Arun Mandale to do bhajans. And Swami said, "Do bhajans every day." And that is how, right from 1968 till this day, till 2018, bhajans go on in Arun Mandale's house every single day. There was another very interesting dream that happened. So in this dream, he saw that he is in Prashant Nilayam, and it was the Prashant Nilayam of the yesteryears when Mr. Raja Reddy and so many of those yesteryears singers were singing. So one day bhajan was about to begin and Bhagwan came, and Mr. Raja Reddy just came and occupied his seat right in the front. And before bhajan was about to begin, Mr. Raja Reddy asked Swami, "Who will play the harmonium?" And suddenly Swami looked at Arun Mandale, who was sitting along with a little group of devotees in the bhajan hall next to Raja Reddy and others. And so Swami pointed to Arun Mandale in the dream and told Raja Reddy, "This boy who is sitting with specs on him, he will play." And so the harmonium was passed on to Mr. Arun Mandale, and in the dream he started playing for the bhajans. And after a while, Swami asked him to sing a bhajan. So he sang a bhajan which was composed by one Mr. Agnihotri, a renowned music composer and a harmonium player of Indore, of their own town. And after the bhajan, Swami came to him in the dream and Swami said, "You sang very beautifully, very nice bhajan." And he said, "Swami, this is a composition by Mr. Agnihotri." Swami said, "Tell him that my blessings are with him." And Arun Mandale got up from the dream in bliss, because Swami had blessed him so profusely. He got a chance to sing. Swami congratulated him and Swami told him, convey my blessings to the composer, Mr. Agnihotri. And the most astonishing thing is he had never before in his life played the harmonium. In fact, he had tried to play the harmonium and he could never get it, so he had left it. And here, in the dream, harmonium was passed to him and he started playing the harmonium. And when he woke up from the dream, the first thing he did is he went and got that harmonium that was there in the home and he tried to play, and to his utter surprise, he was able to play. He was seamlessly playing the harmonium as if he has learned the harmonium. It just came naturally. With the same ease with which he was playing the harmonium in the dream, he started playing now, and the whole house, everyone was stunned. They thought, what has gone wrong with him? He just got up from the bed early in the morning and he started singing and playing the harmonium, and he started narrating that this is what has happened. He could not believe that he's been so blessed. What was the dream had become the reality, and immediately his father said he should go and talk to Mr. Agnihotri and share with him this miracle that had happened. So he goes to the house of this composer, and when he narrated everything that had happened, Mr. Agnihotri passes on an harmonium to him and says, let us see how you play. Why don't you play this song? Why don't you play this bhajan? And he just plays like he had learned harmonium for years together. And from then on, this is a talent that just became an instrument for him to continue bhajans in his home every single day, and it has been going on now for more than 50 years. This is the glory of the one who is the repository of all talent. The first line spoke about Kalavati, and in the second line we are adoring the Divine Mother as Saraswati. So she is the one, if she will, she will fill us with talent in a trice. And that is what has happened in the life of Mr. Arun Mandale. So here you have Devi Saraswati Veda Narayani. In fact, the phrase Veda Narayani also reminds me of a very beautiful incident connected with Arun Mandale. After many years of doing bhajans, when there was a lot of stress on chanting Vedam, he also took to learning Vedam. He had come to Prashantilam in the year 2000 and he went back with the inspiration to chant Vedam. And his proficiency in Vedam gave him the opportunity to travel to the eastern states of India, Assam, Manipur, Nagaland, and teach Vedam to devotees there. And one interesting experience that he had during December 2006 is that after teaching these group of devotees Vedam for many weeks, one of the persons who was a chief of that village in East India, that village had about a population of 8,000 people. So this person asked Mr. Arun Mandale, will your Swami do anything for our village? And Mr. Arun Mandale said, he is not my Swami, he is your Swami also. He is the Swami for the entire world. He can do anything. You ask him, there is nothing that he cannot do. And then this person shared about a problem in their village. He said that one very, very dreadful thing is happening in our village every 10-15 days. Someone or the other is kidnapped by some miscreants, and these kidnapped people are generally not ladies. They kidnap only male members, and after that, these evil people, they ask us for a ransom, and depending on the financial condition of the family, they'll ask from something like 1 lakh to 10 lakhs, and they don't harm the person, but only when the money is given, then they release. And that is how we have lost a lot of money, and we have lost so many members of our village. Some are gone for 3 months, some are gone for 4 months, some are gone for 6 months, and we are all the time in doubt and uncertainty about what is happening with the members of our community. Can Sai Baba do anything for us? And Mr. Arun Mandale says, yes, yes, why don't you write a letter to Swami? And the village chief says that, you know, can you please write for us? And Mr. Arun Mandale says, okay, I will write the letter. Will he reply? And Arun Mandale says, he will not reply, but he will take action on it. Don't worry. And so Mr. Arun Mandale writes on their behalf and he posts this letter to Bhagwan. And 4-5 days after that, again, he hears this news that a person was kidnapped. This was a village in the state of Manipur in East India. And what astonished the villagers is that this man who was kidnapped was released in just 4 hours. It had never ever happened before. It would generally take 3 months, 4 months or 6 months, and only after the amount is paid. And when they inquired how this person could escape so quickly, he said that when they were taking him in the vehicle, from the opposite direction suddenly an army vehicle was coming, and these evil people suddenly got very scared and they did not harm him. They just fled from the scene, leaving this person, and this person safely returned to the village. And the most heartening thing is, from that day onwards, there was no more kidnapping in the village. And all this had happened after they had taken to chanting Vedam. They had learnt Vedam from Arun Mandale for many weeks. One other very interesting thing that happened during this period is, during one of these days, a man came to Mr. Arun Mandale and asked if one can be cured of any ailment through Veda chanting. And then Arun Mandale said that if one is regular and if one has faith, Swami will take care of everything. One should not have any anxieties. And later he learned that the person who asked was a HIV patient. 6 months later, he called one of the devotees of that region to inquire about him. And they told him that this man had been admitted in a hospital, but he was now returning to normalcy. And soon he was discharged, and the hospital test showed that he was free of that dreaded infection, of that dreaded virus. And this happened after 6 months of diligent chanting of Rudram. The most heartening thing is that after he was cured, he decided to have a child, because the couple had been longing for this boon for long. And he was so happy that his son, who was born, was free of the disease. In fact, the son is now growing up to be a beautiful teenager who is probably now 5 or 6 years old. So Arun Mandale has had many beautiful experiences there of people getting cured, of students chanting Medha Suktam and becoming better in their academics. That is the glory of the Divine Mother as Veda Narayani. So she is the source of the Vedas, and she is the one who protects, the one who chants the Vedas. Devi Saraswati Veda Narayani. Let's move on to the third line.
Mangala Gauri Mata Maheshwari.
Mangala Gauri Mata Maheshwari. Mangala is auspiciousness. Gauri means one who is shining and who is brilliant. Mata is another name for the mother. Maheshwari means the one who is the consort of Maheshwara. Maheshwara is the lord of lords, Mahaishwara. Here again, different names of the Divine Mother, who is the embodiment of auspiciousness, who is the consort of Lord Shiva, who is also adored as Maheshwara. And let's now come to the last line. Jagatodharini Durga Bhavani.
Jagatodharini Durga Bhavani.
Jagatodharini means the one who uplifts the world. Jagat means cosmos. Udharani means one who takes care. Durga refers to the one who removes all that is unpleasant. Durgatinashini, Durga, the one who eliminates our sufferings. Bhavani refers to the one who is the consort of Bhava. In fact, it is one of the 1000 names in the sacred Lalita Sahasranama dedicated to the Mother Goddess. Lord Shiva bears the name Bhava, and his consort is called Bhavani. Another meaning of Bhavani is the one who gives life to the routine life of human beings. Basically, the one who fills us with prana, who fills us with the life force, and the one who finally grants us liberation. She is adored as Bhavani. Jagatodharini Durga Bhavani, the one who lifts us and the one who lifts the entire cosmos. That is what is conveyed in Jagatodharini Durga Bhavani. There are so many beautiful meanings of all these lovely names of the Divine Mother that we come across in this melodious bhajan. Let us spend time ruminating on the inner significance of all these bhajans, and how we connect to the Lord through our experience of how He is the protector, how He is the one who has filled us with auspiciousness, how she is the one who has filled us with talent, how she is the one who has removed ego and purified us. Let us ruminate on these thoughts as we sing this bhajan. We will now sing this bhajan along with the students of Bhagwan in Prashant Nilayam.
ಕಲಾವತಿ ಕಾಳಿ ಕಪಾಲಿ
That brings us to the end of the current episode of Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. If you have any queries or comments, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. With heart full of gratitude and love, we offer this endeavor at His lotus feet. You were listening to an episode of our program Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. This episode was first aired on the 13th December 2018 as part of Thursday Live from Prashanthimalayam on Asia Stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. This program was hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Thank you and Sai Ram.